Radio Prague News.
European Commission antitrust officials have carried out raids at ČEZ and other power companies in the Czech Republic. The FBI is reportedly going to investigate the privatization of the Czech bank Česká spořitelna. And six people were injured when a tram crashed into a bus in Prague on Tuesday. Antitrust officials from the European Commission have carried out surprise inspections at energy giant ČEZ and other power companies in the Czech Republic. The raids took place as part of an investigation into suspected anti-competitive behaviour, the European Commission said on Tuesday. It said it was looking into whether ČEZ had worked to block competitors in order to boost its own position as the country's dominant wholesale power supplier, either acting alone or in conjunction with other firms. Counterparts from the Czech antitrust body took part in the raids alongside European Commission officials. The United States Federal Bureau of Investigation is to begin an inquiry into the privatization of a Czech bank, the news website Aktuálně.cz reported. The investigation into the year 2000 sale of Česká spořitelna to Austria's Erste Bank has been sparked by allegations made by two former executives at the latter institution. The two who were fired by Erste this year say the bank paid bribes to local politicians and officials when buying banks in the Central and Eastern Europe region. They told Aktuálně.cz that in the Czech Republic the bribery concerned leading politicians. The former bank officials are planning to file lawsuits against Erste in the US. For its part, the Austrian bank has rejected the allegations, while former ministers who served under then Czech Prime Minister Miloš Zeman have also denied any wrongdoing. Six people were injured when a tram crashed into a bus on Prague's Náměstí Míru Square on Tuesday morning. A spokesperson for the city's emergency services said the passengers affected had mainly suffered bruising in the accident, which occurred at a stop shared by trams and buses at around 8:30 a.m. Three people were taken to hospital, none of them with life-threatening injuries. If reforms aren't carried out next year, the state will have to bail out the Czech healthcare system in 2011, the head of the country's biggest insurer, VZP, said on Tuesday. Pavel Horák told Hospodářské noviny that otherwise there was a danger that limits would have to be placed on free healthcare. VZP is set to end this year with a deficit of 6 to 8 billion crowns, a shortfall that's likely to be repeated at the end of 2010. The weather now, it should be cloudy with occasional sunny spells over the next couple of days. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 11 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find several more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Danielle Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech government has expressed regret over the forced sterilisation of Romani women, a practice going back to the early communist days. A Czech Muslim organisation has invited far-right Dutch politician Geert Wilders to an open debate on his anti-Islamic movie. The Czech film Protector wins its first award on its way to the Oscars. And later on in the show, we'll look at the standard of healthcare 20 years after the fall of communism.
What we changed in the last 20 years, we changed the level of our diagnostic and treatment.
All that and more coming your way, so please do stay with us. Human rights campaigners won an important moral victory on Monday when the government of Jan Fischer expressed regret over the forced sterilization of women, almost all of them members of the country's Roma minority. No reliable figures exist for the numbers of women sterilized, but what's alarming is that according to human rights groups, the practice continues in isolated cases to this day. Rob Cameron has the story.
Prime Minister Jan Fischer addressing a special news briefing on Monday in which he offered a formal expression of regret for those women, predominantly members of the Roma minority, who were sterilized either against their will or without proper consent. There would be no financial compensation, Mr. Fischer added, explaining that such a move would be inappropriate amidst the economic crisis. Figures are extremely hard to come by, but as Human Rights and Minorities Minister Mikhail Kotsab told journalists, a report into 80 such cases drawn up by the Czech Ombudsman's office suggested local authorities in the communist period had embarked on what amounted to a program of social engineering.
To quote the Ombudsman's report, it would be a mistake to assume that measures taken by the pre-1989 authorities towards the Roma minority were implemented by chance as opposed to being coordinated. It's true there is no mention in state reports from the 1970s of the need to regulate the birth rate among the Roma. However, there is in reports drawn up by local or regional state bodies from the same period, and they're very interesting. For instance, this from Brno, 1970. We recommend health education programs to reduce the birth rate and therefore restrict the unwanted growth of Roma families.
According to human rights groups, Czechoslovak social services used a carrot-and-stick approach to encourage Roma women to become infertile. Either the authorities offered considerable financial incentives or social workers threatened to take their existing children into care. The practice was abandoned as state policy in 1991, but by no means has it disappeared. Helena Ferienčíková says she was sterilized without proper consent during a cesarean section in 2001.
I was in such pain that I just signed it. Who wouldn't? Nobody explained to me, nobody told me that I'd never be able to have children again.
Rights groups are now trying to document all such cases. Gwendolyn Albert is a US-born human rights activist.
We know for a fact it's still happening. One of those 20 cases that were discovered last year included allegations from the year 2007 and 2008. The case from 2007 was extremely disturbing because it seemed to be a revival of old practice whereby a social worker told a Romani mother who already had three children and was living in a precarious situation that if she didn't agree to undergo sterilization, two of her children would be placed in state care. The woman tried to not undergo the operation. She would, you know, claim to be sick when the appointment was made for her and all of this sort of thing, but in the end, to keep her family together, she agreed to undergo it.
Human rights groups involved in the issue have welcomed the government's expression of regret, but say the state must now issue compensation to Romani women who were made infertile against their will, and also introduce legal measures to ensure it never happens again.
Rob Cameron with that report. Now, after the Czech Senate banned a planned appearance on its premises by the controversial far-right Dutch politician Geert Wilders last week, the Czech Muslim organization Libertas Independent Agency on Monday surprised many by extending an invitation to him. The organization is offering to host a screening of Mr. Wilders' anti-Islamic film Finta and organize a debate on the subject. Sarah Borufka looks into this unexpected change of strategy.
Senator Jiří Oberfalzer's invitation to Dutch far-right politician Geert Wilders, who was to screen his anti-Islamic film Finta and address a conference on the Islamization of Europe and freedom of speech, was met with shock and disbelief last week. The Senate's chair, Przemysl Sobotka, made it clear that the head of the Dutch Party for Freedom would not be welcome on the premises, and his planned appearance was banned by the Senate. Mr. Oberfalzer then said that he would look for another venue to accommodate his controversial guest. Help came from a most unexpected quarter. The Czech Muslim organization Libertas Independent Agency has seconded the invitation to Mr. Wilders and is offering a venue where he can screen his controversial film. The organization's spokesman Lukáš Lokjan thinks that screening the film prior to an open discussion is the best way to address the anti-Islamic sentiments it contains.
We have seen what happens when prejudices are ignored, such as in the middle of the 20th century when anti-Semitism was mostly ignored and it didn't prevent the Holocaust and the murdering of 6 million Jews. So we decided to learn from history, and based on the fact that the best way to fight prejudices and hatred and to reveal manipulation is to have an open discussion, we decided to choose this strategy.
Other representatives of the several dozen thousand strong Muslim community in the Czech Republic believe the best policy would be to ignore Geert Wilders. Mohamed Abbas, head of the Muslim Union of the Czech Republic, thinks he can't be taken seriously.
This man is ridiculous, and his film is also ridiculous because he have a party which is called something freedom. He's coming to say a speech about freedom in Europe. But at the end of his film, he is asking to stop the freedom of belief of Europeans, which is ridiculous more than controversial.
Mr. Lohatan said on Tuesday that he had no idea whether Geert Wilders would accept the invitation. Libertas' top choice for the discussion with Mr. Wilders would be the Czech Republic's only Muslim spiritual leader, Imam Emir Omic.
Sarah Borůvka with that story. Now, the new Czech film Protector has begun delivering on high expectations with a win at the Stars International Film Festival in Denver, Colorado. The Krzysztof Kieslowski Award for Best Feature Film was a promising start for the World War II film that the Czech Republic has already pinned its Oscar hopes on. Christian Falvey reports.
When Protector was put forward by the Czech Film and Television Academy 2 days after it premiered at the London Film Festival, a lot of people were unsurprised even without having seen it. Considering what has worked in the past, films dealing with the Second World War and the Holocaust are safe shots for Oscars. I asked the film's producer, Pavel Sternad, if he saw the film as Oscar material from the beginning.
Well, that's the question that everybody asked us, but we haven't made this film because it's a World War II topic. We made it because we thought the story was strong enough, and obviously this is the time when this type of story was a matter of life and death, and I'm happy that it turned out to be a great film. When you start making film, you don't think about Oscars. You just think about making a good film.
Protector is the story of a married couple who find themselves on opposite sides of the war after the protectorate learns that the wife, a film actress, is of Jewish descent. Meanwhile, her husband, a Czechoslovak radio journalist, is set to become the voice of Nazi propaganda in the occupied country. The filmmakers have said that the two ideas they were most interested in working with from the outset was the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich in Prague and the plight of a radio employee. That certainly adds to its interest for Czechs, not to mention Czech radio employees. But Pavel Sternad says that the victory in Denver was confirmation of Protector's strong transnational appeal.
Well, actually, yes, I was surprised, but we had a couple of screenings and we really found out that the U.S. audience is really embracing the film. So I think, you know, that's great that this film works abroad. It's quite universal also, you know, for other territories, and I would say even for other periods of Czech history, because we saw similar stories happening later during the communism, and that's what we liked about the story as well.
Protector, which was directed by Marek Nybert, has not been an astounding success in Czech cinemas, though, despite its solid success among critics. Those results, though, can sometimes be the sign of a classic.
Christian Falvey with that story. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. Now, this month, Czechs celebrate 20 years since the Velvet Revolution that overthrew the communist regime in the country. The fall of communism changed practically all aspects of life, including healthcare. In this week's Talking Point, Jan Richter reports on some of the changes Czech healthcare has gone through in the past 2 decades.
the opening score for the 1970s TV series Hospital in the Suburbs is instantly recognizable for most Czechs. Communist Czechoslovakia's version of Chicago Hope pictured communist healthcare as modern and efficient. But the reality was different. The country lagged behind the developed world in technology and materials, and most people were left with crowded waiting rooms and rude doctors who would not take offense at the occasional bribe. Nurses going about their business at Prague's Motol Hospital, one of the largest medical facilities in Europe. It was built at about the same time when the hospital show was made, with nearly 4,000 beds. While communist officials boasted of the great results of Czechoslovak healthcare, for instance very low infant fatality rates, Czechs and Slovaks topped the international ladder in other areas, including cancer. The head of Motol's gyno-oncology ward, Professor Luboš Hrob, says that Czechs now receive the same treatment as patients in Western Europe and other developed countries.
I think that, for example, in this surgery, the situation in the Czech Republic now is the same as in other European countries. Yes, in these Western European countries, because a lot of departments have very good equipment, laparoscopic equipment. I think that now in this field we have the same situation as in the Western countries.
Professor Rob, who graduated in the 1970s, explains that the improvement since that time has been remarkable.
When we start the chemo, and especially in the ovarian cancer, when we start, if we have 100 new patients, 80 patients died. Now, I think that it's good improvement, because now, if we have the 100 cases, 60 patients died. It's 20%. I think that during the 20 years, it's a relatively good result.
Outside Motol Hospital, I ask some of the patients about how they feel about the quality of healthcare today.
Já dostávám dobrou teďko léčebno. Já chodím na onkologii.
I'm getting good health care now. I'm a cancer patient and I'm taken good care of. It's much better here. It's more orderly.
Perfektní. Snad je tady lepší pořádek.
No, tak ty jsou veliký, protože...
The changes have been great. My wife happens to be a patient here. She was operated on some 2 months ago. The care has been great.
Je to 2 měsíce byla na operaci a bezvadný.
No tak já jsem spokojená se zdravotní péčí. Ono podle toho, co člověk potřebuje.
I'm quite happy with health care. It depends a lot on what you need, though, but I think I'm happy.
Potřebuje také. No, ale já jsem spokojená.
Top quality healthcare was also available under the communist regime, though not for all. Just next to Motol Hospital, the State Institute of National Health, or SANOPS, was built between 1984 and 1988 for high-ranking communist officials. It is now called the Nahomolce Hospital, and the head of the cardiology ward, Petr Neužil, started working there just months before the Velvet Revolution.
All equipment was pretty modern, new. The systems you couldn't find that time anywhere else. But what you couldn't find here, the good level of medical care, because we haven't had here a good level of specialization. All specific procedures were done by doctors from outside. And so that way it was absolutely different. You could get here like good meal, you could get good beer. To be fair, we have had very, very good level of nursing system. Nurses were like very communicative, nurses were trained to be nice, nurses were very, very professional.
The end of privileged healthcare was one of the changes the hospital has seen since 1989. Dr. Neužil says that the quality of healthcare provided has also dramatically improved.
What we changed in the last 20 years, we changed the level of our diagnostic and treatment. We even didn't change only the so-called communistic system medicine, but we changed also some standards we got from Austrian monarchy. Because we were like centered by only Prague and nothing else. Like capital, city and some exceptions. Nowadays, comparing this 20 years ago, we have 13 cardiac centers. We have 13 heart centers serving a high level of medicine.
But the changes came at a cost. Transforming the communist healthcare system has been one of the greatest challenges of the post-1989 era. In total, there have been 17 health ministers, more than any other governmental positions. With all the new technologies and other developments, it has been very difficult to keep the health budget balanced. Last year, the former right of center government launched an ambitious healthcare reform, but only parts of it were actually put in practice, most notably healthcare fees. Czech patients now pay for each visit to the doctor, for hospital stays, and also for each item on their drug prescriptions. This provoked some strong reactions. Josef Mrázek is from the Czech Patients Association.
The biggest change was that now we can get everything of first quality, as such medical products, equipment and so on. And also salaries of physicians and nurses are much better. But there is a big danger now that our government tries to follow the example of America more than the example of Scandinavian states.
Mr. Mrázek believed that the reform was unnecessary and only caters to the business interests of medical companies and pharmaceutical firms. In his view, the system worked before and can work just as well in the future.
The project of Mr. Topolánek, of Mr. Julínek and so on is to help to the businessmen to get more money from the health care system. They are big liars, I must say. In the last years, we couldn't use the very expensive medical products in a full manner, but we always used them if it was necessary for the patients. And so it can continue.
But many would not agree with the Patients Association. Private care, particularly in Prague, is dynamically developing, providing top-level care to those who can afford it. This is particularly true about dentists. Ladislav Česnek graduated in the spring of 1990, after he was a member of his medical school's strike committee during the Velvet Revolution. 2 years after graduation, Dr. Česnek became the fourth private dentist in the country.
When I first started, I cooperated with an insurance company, but I wasn't able to provide quality care for their prices. What they paid back then was ridiculous. It didn't even cover the costs, not to mention any kind of reasonable profit. Their payments in the early 1990s were also delayed, up to 6 months sometimes. So I could not work under the system, and I broke off from the insurance system, and in 1993 I started working purely on a private basis.
Another important aspect that has changed over the years is the attitude of medical staff to patients. The most popular character from the 1970s Hospital in the Suburbs TV show was Dr. Strossmayer, a funny man but exceedingly grumpy and cynical to his patients. Professor Luboš Rob from Motol Hospital again.
It's true that the improvement of this communication with the patient is really big. And if we compare this 20 years period, I think that now we have the Western standard. But in 1990, we have the Eastern standard in this communication with the patient.
And would Professor Rob give Dr. Strossmayer a job in his wards today?
I think that this for us very nice and marvelous doctor, it's impossible to work now in the university or in the high quality hospitals.
20 years after the fall of communism, Czechs get very much the same healthcare as anywhere else in the developed world. But without serious reforms, particularly of its funding, that may soon change. Reforming the system therefore remains one of the most pressing issues for any government to come.
Jan Richter with this week's edition of Talking Point, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. You'll find all our programs in text and sound at radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.
Nad kavalcem a že prej mě vykosti. Náhle vešla moje holka poptat se mě na zdraví a že zrovna byly horka, měla šaty plandavý. Zrušil pitvu, pravil, že je zavříno, mrknul na ní, složil břitvu a pozval ji na víno. Ráno jsem se ani neptal, v kolik přišli z vinárny, doktor jí furt něco šeptal, asi nějaký chlívárny.